The Lord be with you.
And with
reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." The people walking in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he kept calling out all the more, "Son of David, have pity on me." Then Jesus stopped and ordered that he be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He replied, "Lord, please let me see." Jesus told him, "Have sight. Your faith has saved you." He immediately received his sight and followed him, giving glory to God. When they saw this, all the people gave praise to God. The Gospel of the Lord. The opening of prayer, we pray that we would find our joy in devoted service to the Lord. Beautiful prayer. We find our joy in devoted service to the Lord. So let's take that prayer to heart this week, that we would be joyful, but our joy would come in our devoted service to the Lord. At the end of the year, we read the book of Revelation or Apocalypse, which is the last book of the Bible. And St. John is writing to the seven churches of Asia Minor. Very good practice to read through those churches to see where you're at. Which of those churches do you identify your own spiritual life to be? The last verse that Joanne read scares me. I don't know about you people. I almost didn't want to listen to that. It was pretty, well, she's reading, well, I think I'll cover my ears, the last verse. But you can't do that. What did she read? Hey, you've lost your first love. Saint Bernard of Clairvaux says, it's much easier to find someone converting from a really sinful life than from someone to go from good to better. Wow. St. Bernard, did you hear that? That's for us. That's for us. Very easy for us to stay where we're at and to be complacent and to nest. But what the book of Revelation is saying is, hey, my friends, you're receiving the Eucharist every day. And we have to keep going up and not stagnant. Thought occurred to me that 45 years ago, at this time of the year, we would rake our 3/4 of land in New Jersey, and what we would do is we would make a bonfire. My dad would be controlling the bonfire, and me and my older brother, and the other little ones, we would have to constantly bringing debris and grass and sticks and anything to keep the bonfire burning. And once the bonfire started to go low, my father would say, "Hey, sons, move it. Hey, move it. Otherwise the bonfire is going to go out." And I think we can use that image for our spiritual life. We have to keep feeding the flame. Feeding the flame by constant acts of faith and hope, especially charity. So let's pray that God will not take the candelabra away from us. Pray for that today. That He'll not take the candelabra away from us, but He'll actually give us another candelabra because of our goodwill. Okay, the psalm, beautiful psalm, says those who follow the Lord will eat from the tree of life. Eat from the tree of life. Adam and Eve ate from the tree and they brought us death. You might even call that the tree of death. The tree in the middle of the garden. Okay, the fathers of the church give us a very marked contrast between the tree in Eden and the tree of the cross. The tree of Eden, you had Adam and Eve who disobeyed, brought us death. Whereas the tree of the cross, you have Jesus on the cross and the second Eve, Mary, beneath the cross. Now Adam and Eve ate from the fruit. Most people say it was an apple. Doesn't say that, just says the forbidden fruit. But the fruit from the tree of life is what? It's the Eucharist. You ever think about that? It's the Eucharist. What happened? The heart of Christ was pierced and flowed forth blood and water. The blood symbolizes the Eucharist. So in a short time, you people are going to be nourishing yourself on the fruit of the tree of life. And that's going to help you to keep the candelabra burning, and not to be stagnant. Keep growing till you get to heaven. Okay, the gospel today is very, very rich. Okay, the blind man is me, and that's you. We all have spiritual blindness. Even people that are really growing in their spiritual life have blindness. I go to my spiritual director and he, after talking, I didn't know that about myself. We all have blind spots. So recognize that that gospel refers to you. We all have blind spots. In Spanish, one of my favorite proverbs is this. No hay un peor ciego que aquel que no quiere ver. No hay un peor sordo que aquel que no quiere oír. Translation, there's no worse blind person than the blind person that doesn't want to see. There's no worse deaf person than the deaf person that doesn't want to hear. Do you hear me? Un poco. So the worst person is not the blind person, but the blind person that says he's not blind. How many alcoholics or drug addicts say, well, I don't have a problem. I'll give it up. And finally, the alcoholic gives it up and he drops dead at 43 years old. Then he gives it up. So we have to honestly admit that we are the blind person. Now Jesus is walking, and the blind person hears that it's Jesus, and he cries out. This is a prayer that should be yours today. Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me. Can you say that? Say it again. Once more. That's a great prayer. That's my prayer, that's your prayer. Great prayer. Powerful prayer. So as he's crying out that prayer, the people basically say, hey, shut up, cállate. Why bother the Lord? And they try to shut the guy up. What does he do? He cries even louder. Okay, what do we learn by that? The importance of persistence and perseverance. Amen? Not to give up. Keep knocking and knocking and knocking like the persistent widow. Like this man. Easy to give up. Well, I made my infallible in the Vina de St. Jude. I didn't receive it. I give up. Okay? It happens. Don't give up. And then Jesus tells them to bring the guy to him. When he arrives at Jesus, okay, what Jesus says, you could do a good hour and a half meditation on those words. What do you want me to do for you? You could easily, if you're trained in meditation, you could easily spend a good hour and a half just on that one question. What do you want Jesus to do for you right now? I've got tons of petitions. I don't know about you. And place that on the altar. Tons of petitions. Place it on the altar. What does he say? Lord, I want to see. Lord, I want to see. Very powerful story in the life of Padre Pio. Padre Pio encountered a blind man. And Padre Pio asked, what do you want? I want to see. And Padre Pio said, I can pray for you that your sight will be restored. But if your sight is restored, then you will lose your soul. Guess what? He preferred to remain blind. How many people today in the modern world are using their eyes in a sinful way? By looking at things on their phone, the internet, TV programs, movies, in which they're using their eyes not to glorify God, but to offend God. So let's pray that we've got eyes. Let's pray that we would not use our eyes to sin, but use our eyes to glorify God. And Jesus says to him, your faith has healed you. And he restores his sight. Let's pray that the Lord will take away the scales from our eyes, that we would be able to contemplate the beauty of God in creation, in the people we meet, and in the Eucharist. One last detail is that this blind man gets up and he starts to follow Christ. Once he's able to see, he's able to follow Christ. And the beautiful thing about this passage is, when his eyes are open, who is the first person he's looking at with his eyes? Hello? The first person he sees with his eyes is Jesus Christ. So let's pray that we will be able to see Jesus Christ in this life. And after we die, that we will experience what is called the beatific vision. We will contemplate the beautiful face of Jesus Christ for all eternity in heaven. Amen.